Okay, hello and welcome to another teleseminar. Of course, this is Ali Alberigo. I have done approximately 36 teleseminars over the last 3 years, and the library continues to grow with all the other wonderful consultants that we have and guests that have been doing teleseminars. This is the most unbelievable library of not only weekly information written, but audio information by it's not compared to in any other consulting company than Member Solutions. So most of you know me as the Member Solutions clients. Other people have met me through my Taking It to the Next Level program, and then you've become a member of Member Solutions. No matter whether we're old friends or we're meeting for the first time, I wanted to give you my mission statement, or what I would say your elevator speech as to what I do and why I do it. You know, we'll also talk about this elevator speech a little bit later to give you some information on how to put one together on your own. I started consulting after being asked by Jeff Cohen, one of the senior partners of Member Solutions. He's a friend of mine, and we know each other for 10-plus years. I felt a slight hesitation when he initially asked me, but for me, I knew that when something felt uncomfortable, I, unlike most people, I dive right in. Since then, I've been consulting for hundreds of businesses and school owners around the world. I've done so many teleconferences and teleseminars, and I'm really honored. My ultimate goal is to teach. I enjoy the benefits I get from seeing people take information, and I know it to be worthwhile, and then they incorporate it into their lives. Like this morning, I've been on the phone from 9:30 till about 12:30 doing one-on-one consults with individual school owners. And if you haven't taken advantage of this, not only do I do this, but Kathy does, and there's a host of other people that do it, take advantage of setting aside a few questions and getting on an appointment schedule to talk to someone and try to get some insight, mentorship, or whatever. It could even be just a counseling session to complain about something that you know is bothering you or to work out a way to fix that issue or problem. I believe that I, as a martial artist, really love the overall benefits that my school teaches to our students. And I'm a ninjutsu instructor, but I've also been trained in many other martial arts, such as Aikido, Chinese Hawaiian Kenpo, Filipino Arnis and Tali, as well as Shotokan, Jiu-Jitsu, Ninpo, and Ninjutsu. But when I first began my school, I wanted to teach only the warrior side of the arts. In fact, if a person couldn't last my grueling first class, which was a full-contact kickboxing class, I thought that they weren't worthy of being my students and receiving my lessons. But it took me years to mature, and along with that maturity came growth. Now I believe that even the weakest of people, whether it be mentally or physically, at the moment that you come through the school, there are lessons that they can learn from our teachings. And I feel that even as a consultant, that people may not have business knowledge. They might be brand new, or they could be someone that's quite advanced that just needs to have a different perspective or look from outside the box in. And I believe that, you know, this is the reason why I do it. In fact, within my school, many parents are many of my students are not only the students, but also the parents. And they learn from our studio each and every day. So I'm a teacher through and through, and that's why I do what I do. My consulting goal, and I want to be clear on this, is to help as many school owners grow their schools, teach quality martial arts, and enhance themselves and their students' lives in ways that they never had thought imaginable. I've developed an amazing team leadership character development program, which is basically a culmination of everything that I've learned in my seminars. And it's taken over 17 years of being with people like Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra, Donald Trump, Rob Kiyosaki, Brian Tracy, and dozens of others. And I've incorporated this into a lesson plan that most of my next level clients are using today. It's earning them tens of thousands of extra dollars per year, and it's something that we do. And this is why I consult. So again, my dedication to you, the client, is to make myself available either through email, one-on-one phone consults, or to answer your questions on teleseminars like this. And this is all provided to you by Member Solutions, of course. You can email me every day if you choose to. I try to answer all my emails timely. And if you're not a next level client, or if you are, you can gain access to me through the web, but I'm here for you. So all you have to do is email me. Also, I pledge to you, to all the ex-next level clients or old or past next level clients, that we're always constantly working on improving, and through Member Solutions, our consulting package, and we have a lot of really interesting things coming up in the future, enhancements and so on. So here goes. The seminar is 10 surefire ways to finish the year right, or finish the year the right way. I'm not sure if this title excited you, frustrated you, or made you yawn. with all the concepts, consulting programs, and information at your fingertips, this may be old hat, or you may even have so much information on your plate that you're not interested at all in putting one more thing into your head. For those of you that know me, my philosophy is consulting is a means to an end. If you were a martial arts student, I would teach you the same way. My goal is to teach the clients running as if the business was running as an art, as a martial art, or it's an art. The business is an art form. As many millionaires say, the art of business, that's like Donald Trump says. Although many say in the industry that the martial art business is not rocket science, I don't necessarily believe this. The difference is that we're not putting together pieces of a rocket engine or learning how to fly a spaceship to the moon step by step, but we're certainly learning how to do many things that the normal person is not capable of. The sad thing about our industry is running a school is dismissed as being easy. And I have many wealthy friends and many different types of businesses, and they all agree that this is not the easiest business to run. So let me tell you why I think that it's so difficult and why I commend you guys on being martial art teachers and how I want to help you. But let me give you some of my ideas and the concepts and goals for the new year as well. So number one, why I don't think schools are that easy, and I bet you there's going to be a lot of head nods out there, is one, we're continually in search of new students. With this continual attrition of clients, we have to always and forever be on a path of discovery. We're always looking to find and secure new blood to keep our schools going and growing. Let me give you a for instance. Let's say that you own an Italian restaurant. People who love your food and can afford to come to your restaurant will come either one all the time. Some of them may come weekly. Some of them may come biweekly, while others come maybe once a month. And there are those clients that come maybe a few times a year. All in all, it doesn't matter if they haven't come in a while. There's still a chance that they could love your food and your service and become clients for life. In our business, normally, a client comes to our school. When they enjoy it, they're there all the time. When they run into frustrations, their attendance starts to wane and decline, and at some point, they either decide to quit and never come back. The amount of students who return are far and few between. If you disagree with that statement, just look at your statistics and you'll see. If a person leaves, it's very rare that they ever come back. And this is a vicious cycle, continually leaving us in this constant search and production of new clients mode. The second reason why I think schools are difficult, and I'm not saying anything to depress anybody, but this is a bigger message in what my conference is all about, is the second thing is retention. Retention is important, but what makes our industry so difficult is we're not only pleasing the active training student, but also the parents as well. In many cases, if the parent is unhappy with the progress because they judge progress based on physical performance of the student, many times we're not only working on the physical, but we're also working on the mental as well, like patience or discipline or standing still or maturity or focus and control, and those are not really that measurable. Also, many times clients chalk off the studio owner's hard work as the growth of the child's maturity, meaning that their developmental growth as they get older. They believe that just because they're getting older that they're growing, but they don't realize that we've been a very integral part of making this happen. Which is, so their developmental growth has a lot to do with us. So when a parent thinks that it's not, which in many cases happens, they don't realize that we're an integral part of the growth process in the child's world. Also, the lessons taught on our floor are not making it home all the time and all that often. What we say and what we teach is only taught to the student, so unless we're able to get the parent on the same page, when a student wants to quit, that parent may allow this because they themselves are not connected to the lesson. I have something more to follow up on that later on as far as a solution. But the third reason, and absolutely not the final reason, as you guys know, is physical activity. It would be easy if we were a video game and people plugged in and paid. Look at Warcraft and all these other video games that are pay services like SOCOM. There are millions of people worldwide sitting on their butts in their living room playing a video game. They're dedicated. They're addicted, sometimes 6, 7, 8 hours. But the reason for this is it's not all that physical. It's easy to be able to move your fingers and have hand-eye coordination, but it's difficult to be able to stand up and spar and hit a pad and sweat and have motivation and exercise and so on. Our society has become very lackadaisical and lazy. But without saying this is the reason, the only reason, people are less likely to deal with struggles today than they ever before. With our general message being fast food and throwaway, it's easy to quit and just allow themselves to believe as long as they moved on to a new activity, which we all hear as as school owners, well, they're not doing martial arts anymore, but they're doing football. They think that this is a reason or a way to dismiss that lack of achievement as failure. What they don't realize is that the more that we jump from thing to thing to try to fill our void, we are losing out in the development of our own personal growth. Anyway, we all know this, I think, as instructors and school owners, but the reason why this is a part of our attrition is because we're not getting the message across as well as we should to the parents. So what are the surefire ways to have a booming 2008? Irrelevant of what the last year was, this year could be better. I know this because this last year for me was filled with struggles, ups and downs, as well as some employee shockers for me. Like I just had two of my top employees that run my location for me just out of the blue, just walk in, no notice whatsoever, no advanced, you know, any kind of clues or anything, and just say, I quit. Now these are two people that run one of my more successful schools. Now I have to struggle and scramble to find new people, and now I have to deal with all the backlash of all those people that were personally connected to the personality and that person that was teaching. So to me, I know that having a successful business is a matter of beating the odds, not the odds of making only money, but doing it in a timely fashion that money is made and is coming in with ample time to pay the bills and keep the doors open. Does that make sense? Meaning that it's okay to make money, but if we make it 3 months down the road and we can't pay our electric bill gets shut off. So we have to be masters at knowing how to stay on time and on track. Here are some important words to write down. I'm going to give you 10 or 9 different systems, and I want you to take a pen out if you can. So please get a pen and paper and just write these words down. And then we're going to go over them in a little more detail, but guarantee that if you take these into account and you do some sort of mentorship with me or any of the other consultants, if you hit these tasks that I'm talking about, 2008, no matter what the economy brings, will be one of the most dynamic and mostly high profit and powerful years you'll ever have. I know that's a grand guarantee, but I know it to be a fact, and let me give you a reason why. When I do one-on-one consulting, elite consulting with a client, and I spend 40 minutes a day, one day a week with them, I mean 40 minutes for the one day a week, and we do this on a monthly basis, I have clients, one of my clients, he's actually literally quadrupled his income in less than a year's time. And when I asked him what he did, you know, what were the major things that made a difference, he told me, which I knew the answer to, but this was a qualifying question, was he said it wasn't all the major things, it was all the minor things put in place to make one major outcome. And it's important that everyone realizes that it's not about the next marketing campaign, it's not about the next system, it's not about team leadership character development, it's not about mixed martial arts. It's about really finding out who you are and what you do best, and we're going to talk more about that as well. So please have your pen and paper ready. If you miss any of these things, we could go back, you could ask me during the questions section, or you can email me, and I'll email them to you. And of course, my email, I'll say it, is Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I, L-I, like Long Island, Ninja, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. That's Renshi, L-I, Ninja, at AOL.com, and I'll email them to you. So here goes. Number one, systemization. If you don't know how to spell it, just scribble it out. Systemization. I'm just being funny, of course. So number one, systemization. Number two, goal setting and prioritization. Number two, goal setting and prioritization. Number three, building the vision. Not only do you need to build a vision for yourself, but you have to build it for your students and your clients. Number four, time management. Four, time management. Number five, formulating a winning curriculum. Again, number five, formulating a winning curriculum. Number six, the seven steps to income within your school. Again, the seven steps to income within your school. Number seven, financial education. Number eight, creating demand and value for your program. Again, seven, financial education. Eight, creating demand and value for your program. And number nine, last but not least, client education. Let me go read over those real quickly so you can double-check your list. Number one, systemization. Two, goal setting and prioritization. Number three, building the vision. Number four, time management. Number five, formulating a winning curriculum. Number six, the seven steps to income within your school. Number seven, financial education. Number eight, creating demand and value for your program. And number nine, client education. Within all nine of these items I mentioned, there are about another 30 that I can tell you, but all of these could be a chapter heading. These nine areas could be nine different chapters, and with each heading, there are many other components that go along with each of them. But I'm going to try to go into a little bit more detail on the explanation of each one of these real, at a faster pace, but not just glancing over. Number one, the systemization. Please don't take a deep breath and give me an eye roll. This is not about putting little paperwork trails and notebooks everywhere. It's not about doing more than necessary and making your life more difficult and overwhelmed. It's a simple matter of simplifying your life to the point where you are on autopilot. I can give you a list of many systems that you need to have in action, and if you email me again and say, Allie, send me some of the systems, I'll do that. But I'll also give you a complimentary version of my Taking It to the Next Level School Flow questionnaire. And if you guys have never gotten this and never gone through it, this is the first thing I ask my Next Level clients to fill out, and it's quite an eye-opening questionnaire. It's quite powerful. So the first thing, so systemizing your school could be, in essence, saving you work and many hours of time in the future. Right now, it might take more work. Right now, it might be overwhelming. Right now, it might take you 60, 70 hours a week for the next, 10, 20 weeks. But after that, you're going to be on autopilot, and that's where you're going to be able to float around on the float in your pool and relax and enjoy life a lot more. I'm not going to say that's all you're going to do, but that's definitely going to be the goal. Number two, goal setting. See that? We led right into it. Goal setting. Normal people talk about this in the new year. I love to be always preemptive, and I do it ahead of time. So now is the time to set goals for the new year. Here are some good goals to set. And again, goal setting is an art form. Again, I could teach you more about this. If you email me, I'll try to give you something on goal setting. So the first thing is maybe to look at and set goals for is a marketing budget. Maybe another one, I'll say A is a marketing budget, B, a financial budget or goal. How much did you make in 2007 and what do you want to make in 2008? Remember, goals we set are goals we get. Brian Tracy, world-famous salesman on the psychology of selling, said that when most salespeople set a goal, they achieve that number. If they would have set the goal higher, they would have achieved higher. So many times people are afraid to set goals because they're afraid of failure. But that very goal will push you towards the place where you want to be and maybe push you a little bit out of your comfort zone, but you'll achieve it. So goal setting, financial goals or budgets. C, what is your student count? Do you want more or less students? Do you want less with more income? What is it that you want to achieve? This is something to search a little bit, soul searching about. D, what's your overall goal? Why do you do what you do? What's the message that you want people to hear this year? Is 2008 your year? My year, my message this year is over-the-top service. I want everyone to know that we will bend over backwards for them to get and achieve what they set out to do, and we're going to do whatever we can. So our goal is over-the-top service. That's mine. So what would yours be? You could borrow mine. As long as you're not in the Long Island area, you could use that one as well. So the next thing is, three, the building a strong vision. This one is most difficult. You may see yourself as such and such a school doing such and such a thing, but your clients may look at you totally differently. I'm going to give you an example. Just recently, I was changing the CO, the certificate of occupancy on my one location school, because I'm doing a refinance on the building. And I went to the town, my town of Islip, town people who are just not the most easiest to deal with, and I asked them, because they have me listed as a part-time school / daycare and school. Now when I said that I wanted to renew my CO or change it if necessary, they're telling me that I'm a martial arts school, I'm not a school. So I asked them a little bit to be kind of, a little bit of a chop buster, but at the same time, for my own education, what is the difference between a school and a martial arts school? And they said, well, a school teaches people things. And I said, yeah, what does a martial arts school teach? Well, you teach how to kick and punch. I said, am I not teaching things? I said, but you're not also getting that we also teach self-confidence, discipline, self-esteem, and you know the laundry list goes on and on. I said, I also teach team leadership, character development. I teach children to be leaders, public speakers, goal setters, and all that other stuff. I said, do other schools do that? And they said, some do, some don't. I said, so why am I not a school? The reason why I bring this up is what makes me unique and what changes us from just being karate school? what's the perception that people see? Well, yeah, you do karate. You're kicking and punching. When people say that, you probably had this happen to you at a party. Oh, you're a black belt? Oh, don't kick my butt, they say. They don't say, oh, you're a black belt? You're probably one of the most focused people I've ever met. Or, you're a black belt? You must be a success in life. Because sometimes the black belt doesn't always translate into all those other things. So what kind of school are you? Are you just about mixed martial arts and fighting? Or are you just about, you know, self-development and self-esteem and no martial arts? Or are you a combination of the whole? What is it that makes people want to stay and continue and spend their hard-earned money in your school? So you need to build a strong vision. Number four, time management. This is by far one of the best investments that I've ever done. I took a course by Franklin Covey years ago, and it turned me into a time management maven. I now do in 1 week what it takes four or five people to do, and this is no joke. I could see it. Literally, I watch my staff at times. Plus, I have time to spare. I love watching TV. I love watching movies. I go home. I take a nap every day. Many people ask me how I do it all, but really, it's a matter of learning how to prioritize and be able to do it well. I also believe it's about realizing when you're spinning your wheels on tasks that are not necessary. I also recommend highly to read the book by Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. If you haven't read that, that's your Christmas list. Get it on the list. Have someone buy it for you and read it in the month of January. Have it done, because it'll make this year one of your most highly productive years. Or if you have the opportunity, go on franklincovey.com and check out the seminar dates and try to get in on one of their seminars. They're very inexpensive. So time management can literally buy you time to be lazy. I know that sounds funny, but if you want to sit around on the couch, you got to learn how to manage time more. If you want to take time with your family, you got to learn how to manage your time better. If you could gain extra time during the week because you know what you're doing and you're more effective at getting it done, you'll have plenty of time to spare. One of my next level clients said to me the best thing he ever got out of our program is that he has 10 to 15 more hours a week. One of the reasons why we push billing to our billing clients is because the billing company saves 10 to 15 hours a week. Now, you could use those 10 to 15 hours a week to do anything you want, whether it be building your business, marketing your business, or taking time with your family to relax. I mean, after all work and no play, well, you know the saying, right? Next thing, number five, is formulating a winning curriculum. Many years ago, I followed the curriculum to the T that was taught to me by my teachers. I didn't care if it appealed to my clients, and I just did it the way I did it because that's the way that I was taught. In fact, just recently, I started taping all my demos from VHS and burning them onto DVD. Believe it or not, I'm not done. I have about another 6-foot pile, but not 6-foot pile, 6-foot long by about 3-foot tall of demos that I've done in the last 17 years. I think when I'm all done, I probably would have done 2,000 demonstrations in 17 years. Anyway, when I watch myself even doing a parent show and I speak, my teacher was a Latino and I'd learned in Spanish Harlem in the city, and interestingly enough, I actually taught my classes in the beginning with a Spanish accent. Now, as you can see, I have no Spanish accent, but that's the way I was taught. I was so ingrained into the methods that I even was like a parrot the way I spoke, and I'm quite embarrassed about it by now. When I look at myself, I almost cringe saying, what was I thinking? So anyway, I want you to take a long, deep look and ask yourself the questions that, when are your students quitting? What rank? What age? What sex? Boy or girl? Male or female adults? Teenagers? And find out that if your curriculum has anything to do with it. If the longevity, if let's say you're a 5-year to black belt kind of curriculum and at 4 years everyone's quitting, maybe your curriculum is too long. Maybe at that point it's too boring, too exciting, too challenging. There are many things that you could come up with. But anyway, I want you to look at your curriculum deeply look at your curriculum. And my question for you, and the one that you should ask yourself, is do you have something that's producing great students, and will it support longevity within the ranks and the student base in your school? Is the curriculum so hard or so boring that it won't support student participation and growth? Whatever the answer is, take a long, hard look and come up with some determinations and then make the necessary changes in the upcoming year. Because you know what? Retention and student participation is very often what they're jazzed about. So if it's something that you have, we could tell them all about, you know, I remember, and I was too young for this, but I remember back in the day I watched TV shows where people would drink cod liver oil. They're finding out now that the omega-3 fatty acids that was in cod liver oil is actually quite unbelievably powerful. But I remember kids having to take a teaspoon of that stuff a day in old TV shows that I saw, and it was disgusting. So no matter how you tell the kids the benefits, it's not going to make them jazzed. They're not running down the stairs going, Mommy, Daddy, let me have my cod liver oil, right? But it is good for them. So nowadays they have it in a pill form, and you just swallow it and never taste it. It's painless. But is our curriculum cod liver oil? Is it a struggle to get kids to want to come after they've been there for a while? Anyway, take a long, hard look. Number six, the 7 steps to income within your school. Now, this is a big one. I've done an entire seminar on this, and you could go back and listen in the archives at Member Solutions, so I'm not going to get real detailed on this, but here they are. Number one, new students. Without them, we're lost, and the school will die. Number two, old students, retention. Without retention, you constantly are bringing people in the front door, letting them walk out the back door. You've heard all the crazy analogies, having a bucket, filling it up, but the holes in the bucket are letting the water drain out. So number one, new students, and without them coming through the door, we're lost. Number two, old student retention. Without those two, there's no growth. Now, the forms of income are number three, deposits and upgrades. For all the new students and renewing students, we get deposits so that there's an income source initially on the month of renewal and enrollment. And there's also that continual tuition, which is every single month as well. Number four, pay in fulls. Now, this I want to be clear on. It's something that you have to be very disciplined, and it's a scary situation. So please contact me or any of the people at Member Solutions before you run out and do a large amount of cash outs. I've seen people, success icons in the industry, people that were like the head of EFC, go out of business. So be very careful with this because it takes extreme discipline to just take money and save it and allocate it for the things that are necessary. Usually it's in your hand and out your hand the next moment. You spend it on something that you may think is beneficial, like an ad or a new kick pad or tools that you think may enhance your student experience. But once the money comes in, it never comes in again, or it doesn't come in for the next year or for whatever time period you paid in full. Number five is special events, parents' night out, special seminars, etc. This is an income stream that should be done either every month or every other month at your school. If you're not doing this, you're losing out, you're missing the boat. So that's another one. Number five is special events, parent night outs, and seminars. Number six, compression payments. This is a weird thing, not used. This term is not used all over the place, but this is how you can cash up front out on some people that are soon to expire. So let's say a person has 3 months left on their agreement and you just needed some extra money, and you could get them enrolled for the following year and give them a slight discount on their remaining membership. That's just another way, compression payments. It just gives you an advance amount of cash flow. And the last and final one, and I have a whole bunch more, but the last and final one is to consider doing some sort of in-house competition or open tournament for people in your area, building this kind of mentality where you're the leader in your area and your industry for martial arts. So I think that it's important, again, to have an in-house tournament, but you could do this and it could be small, and it could net you $3,000 to $10,000 once or twice a year, depending on how you do it. Number seven on my list of the nine is financial education. Believe it or not, we spin our wheels on a daily basis, and we do the least amount of studying in this area to become professionals. I just recently, to give you an example, have been reviewing all my schools, and I have four, you know, so that's why I say all my schools, not to sound big, but I have four schools in Long Island, one in Bermuda, but my four schools in Long Island reviewing the expenditures. What I'm finding is there's a lot of wasted money. It's easy when it's not in front of you to see, to not see the waste. But when you start to manage your budget, no accountant or bookkeeper is going to tell you, hey, I have an idea, or well, I shouldn't say no, but not many will go out of their way to say, hey, listen, Allie, you've been blowing money on this telephone system. How about we talk about redoing the telephone system and going from normal landlines to cable optimum lines or cable service or, you know, digital service? And I bet you could save $3,000 or $4,000 a year. I just did this with a dumpster company. I have a dumpster at every one of my locations. I have four different dumpster companies, so I didn't have my eggs in one basket. And, you know, I said, okay, that's been working out, but I'm paying $100 a month for this dumpster service. I called up the one company that I liked the most, and I said, listen, if I give you all four of my dumpsters, how much could you do it for? They said, I could do it for a total of $200 a month. So I saved myself just by asking the question in the snap of a finger, $200 a month, $2,400 a year. That, you know, that's a trip to Aruba. That could be a down payment on a condo, a cheap one, of course. That could be a payoff on a credit card. That could be $2,400 in my daughter's college fund. Just by evaluating what I'm doing and trying to find a separate source. The whole thing about financial education is to know what your money could do for you and make your money work for you. So if you're making a $500 or a $5,000 profit every month, what are you doing with that money? Where are you putting it? How are you investing it? Are you turning it into passive income? Anyway, I could, again, do a whole entire seminar on this, and I'm open to you guys emailing me on that stuff if you want to just have discussions on it. And I suggest to you not to go to a financial planner that sells insurance, is going to give you whole life and term goals, or maybe investing in some mutual funds. I would go to a financial planner who actually looks at your expenditures and says, hey, if I do this, if I refinance that credit card, or if I get a lower interest rate on my home, or if I pay off this credit card sooner, I can save money. Quite often, we don't spend enough time. Rob Kiyosaki and Donald Trump say to spend 15 to 20 hours a week on your financials. You know, of course, they have millions. So let's say you spend 5 to 6 hours or 3 to 4 hours on studying your financials and seeing how you can make it work for you. You'd be in that much better situation at the end of 2008. Number 8 on my list is creating demand and value for your program. Quite often, the martial art industry is not like, let me use an analogy of the Seinfeld episode, if you have any Seinfeld fans out there, with the soup Nazi. Do you remember, if you've seen the episode, it was this guy who had incredible soup, so incredible that everybody would wait online to get this soup, and this guy was crazy. You know, if you didn't ask for the soup the right way, if you didn't have your money in your right hand, if you looked him in the eyes, you asked a personal question, he just said, out of the store, no soup for you, 2 weeks, and he'd give you a punishment. And people would wait and be depressed and come back 2 weeks later. Of course, this is an extreme example, although this is actually taken from an actual soup place in Manhattan, and of course the guy's not like that, but it has such a demand that these people love his product. What is it that would create this demand for our martial arts school where we have a waiting list at the door where people are dying to get in? And I do believe, in my own personal opinion, it's about creating this vision that we're exclusive. You know, why is it that you could have your child, if you're a parent, in a program where you could give them tutoring for, let's say, $20 an hour with a college kid, or you could take them and pay $12,000 for 4 months at a Montessori school? What's the difference? It's that Montessori school is not a kid tutoring. It's a professional organization with an image and a track record, and that's what we need to develop for our students. And by creating this value, we are actually putting ourselves in a whole nother dynamic. We're changing the whole entire synergy of our school. So when people look at us as experts, like many of the clients that pay me to be their personal consultant, they'll pay me a lot of money to do that because the benefits that I give them are life-changing. So do our clients feel that their lives are changing? Do they feel that what we give them as just another commodity, they put us in the same category as soccer, t-ball, baseball? You know, if they quit karate, who cares? We want them to believe that quitting karate will impact their lives. We want them to believe that if they stay with our martial art program, that when they're older, they're going to be much more productive citizens. They're going to live better lives. They're going to be better people. What is it that we can do to create this demand and value for your program? Again, I'm offering one more time. If you want to email me, I can give you some information on this. So when you want something, just don't say, Ali, send me all the information on your teleseminar. Tell me what most interests you or the few bullet points that interest you, and we'll work together. What I'm trying to open up is some conversation with you so that we can develop your school and help you grow your schools in specific areas. It's not about the 9 things that I talked about. I don't want you to do all 9 of them 50%. I want you to do 1 of them or 2 of them 100%. So number 8 was creating demand and value for our program. And number 9, last but not least, is client education. I just took a drink there. Sorry about that. So client education, what does that mean? Our clients are not only our students. In fact, if we have a majority of kids in our school, our clients are the parents, our students are the children. the people who pay for our program, make all the buying decisions, those are the ones that we have to reach. Also, in the case of children, it's interesting that the child is in the classroom, they're absorbing the benefits. But, you know, normally when parents stay, very rarely they don't watch the class. They're sitting in my lobby, there's 25 of them, they just chat, they look up at the monitor. Not all of them are, like, glued to the monitor. They're not fully paying attention. They're there, they're a part, but they're really not in there, you know, hearing and listening and seeing, right? So in my schools, we try to create this client education or parent education program. And I do that in many different ways, via email, through our email newsletter, through parent education classes. Tonight I have an orientation with a few of my new members, the new parents and the new students, where I sit down and I do a 40 minute invitation, orientation, and I go over what our school is, what our vision is, who we are, what their responsibility as a parent is, what we expect from them, what we believe to be important, what we've seen in the past happen, and how they can prevent it. You know, this is not something that, you know, we're not sure of. We're not like newbies, most of us, so we know that there are going to be certain problems. So we educate our parents that this may come up. Little Johnny might get discouraged. Little Johnny might not want to come to class. Your daughter might get, you know, feel uncomfortable if she's wrestling with the boys. What do you want me to do? We often ask questions like, give us a few little pointers of what kind of kid your kid is. If we know that they thrive on compliments, you know, and very often parents don't even know, but if they're those kind of kids that love to be patted on the back, we talk to them. If they're the kids that don't love to be patted on the back, we don't do it. But we quite often don't have this information because we never ask. So we might pat a kid up in the back, and they might quit because they felt that we put them on the spot, and they felt embarrassed and felt like they were in front of the whole class, and then they quit. While the other kid, if we don't pat them on the back, they quit because they're not getting enough personal attention. So this orientation, this time, this communication, this parent education helps us retain our students and be better instructors. So over-the-top service is not just about teaching a dynamic, exciting karate class. It's about making this, you know, spreading our roots out so deeply into the community to know and get a pulse of what people are really looking for and what they want to achieve by being in our schools. But I want to urge you to take your time off during the holidays, if you have any, and take your goal setting for 2000, and, you know, do it in 2007, and start working on the things that are going to make changes in your life. And I would urge you to take a look at all the systems that you have in place and do what I would call an inventory. Do a marketing inventory and see how much marketing tools you're using. Do a system inventory and see how many systems you have and how many you're using and to what percentage and efficiency you're using them. Take a student retention inventory and tell me all the products and ideas that you have that you're using to retain students and look at it and say, how effective are you doing it? What's the quality of it and how often? And then do that for your curriculum as well. So in closing, I want to say there were a bunch of things that I offered, and without going back over them and trying to remember, I'm going to just quickly just take a quick look. One of them was that if you wanted to get on my marketing action worksheet, I can email that to you. Another one was talking about our SchoolFlow questionnaire. That's a super powerful one. And anyway, all you need to do is email me at Renshi, RENSHILINinja, at AOL.com, and I'd be happy to send you any of this stuff. And I also want to let you know that I'm open for dialogue. If you want to email me, I'd love to talk to you on a regular basis. And then Kathy and everyone will also let you know about the seminars. We have emails coming out on this new Knockout the New Year seminar series that's coming up. I believe I'm doing one on the 12th. And you could do one-on-one conference calls at any time with any of our consultants. So I want to sign off by saying thanks so much, and I wish everyone, and if you're getting this on an archive, it might be too late, but I wish everyone the best holiday and successful new year. And if you get this after the fact, I wish you the most prosperous year. And I'm excited to continue to work with Member Solutions and Kathy and all the people there and all of you. And thank you for being on the line with me today. And again, thank you for allowing me to realize my dream and help people by doing consulting as well, because without you, I couldn't do it. So have a great day. Kathy, thanks again. CP thank Dwight, you, thanks for being on the line, and everyone else, Rocky and so on. So have a great day, everybody.